Hello, everyone, and welcome to another beautiful day. I mean, welcome to Season 3, Episode 2 of the Fire Emblem Podcast. What's up, Seraph?
Not much. Pretty hyped about the new announcement.
What new announcement?
I haven't. Oh, you haven't heard?
Few days. I live under a rock. Inform me, Seraph.
Oh, it's just something small, like Captain Falcon got announced.
Yes, Captain Falcon! New F-Zero game, right?
He's my favorite Fire Emblem Lord. I mean, I'm so glad he's in the game.
Wait, what?
No, the announcement was Sakurai came out all guns blazing and threw not one but two Fire Emblem characters at us.
True that.
So I don't really know what to say.
I thought it was three, which is what everyone thought at first. But no, it's just that everyone was so hyped that it was a misunderstanding. But we thought Crom would get in, but he's just like a cameo in Robin's final smash.
Yeah, Crom said mean things about Sakurai's mother, so he got demoted to the bench. He was going to be in, but didn't work out.
Yeah. They were on Twitter for a while, but they got taken down, of course.
I don't know. I'm so happy about the announcement.
I was so hyped. And it actually annoyed me a bit, because like as soon as the announcement came out, like already like right after people were complaining, like, oh, too many sword users. I'm just like, really? Really, we got two Fire Emblem characters, and you, as a Fire Emblem fan, are complaining. I mean, I agree that there's too many sword users, but it's like, you know, beggars can't be choosers, so... I'm still happy.
Well, I mean, I can remember us talking about how we didn't think there would be, Marth and Ike would be the only two Fire Emblem characters
exactly. No,
this
that's,
generation.
That's what I expected. Like, Sakurai has no obligation whatsoever to add in a third Fire Emblem character. Fire Emblem isn't that big or popular.
And now we've just suddenly doubled the roster in size.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
People can't really bitch about too many sword users. I mean, most of the lords throughout the games have been sword users.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they're trying to, like, they could obviously include Hector or Ephraim, but they're trying to be relevant with the most recent game that came out.
Right, exactly. And yeah, Yeah, I'm sure, like, a certain portion of the Fire Emblem fans would be like, oh, let's have Hector and Ephraim. But, like, how many people actually know them? Not many.
Yeah, that would be completely left field and wouldn't make sense. But, yeah. I mean, if you think about the three options we have from Awakening, they're all sword users.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've put in Robin, who can use magic as well.
Right, exactly. And magic is one of his big things. So I think that he didn't... Like, he realizes that, oh, there's an influx of sword users, and I think that's why he chose Robin over maybe Crom or someone else. That,
yeah.
And it's also, in a way, it's representative of FE12, Heroes of Light and Shadow, because that also had what we translated as My Unit, and it was later localized into Avatar... it also had that, you know, essentially the make your own character thing, right? And that character kind of has a personality and they have a role in the story. So they're not the exact same, but it's kind of like the same concept. So I feel like including Robin in a way is even a little bit more inclusive, of the whole have your own character and Fire Emblem thing, which for all we know, it might be a recurring feature now. I'm okay without character creation. I thought the tactician was like the coolest thing in the world when I first played, but I don't know if we're gonna see. Would you like to see more character creations, avatars, and the future Fire Emblem games?
I didn't mind it. I thought in Fire Emblem 7 it was pulled off well, where you're given a role in the story, but you're not given a proper playing role. I thought that was a nice touch. And then for 12 it was very basic. Like in 12 it was only okay. I think the avatar was fine in Awakening, just the story to back it up really wasn't there.
I
think if you had a better story to incorporate the avatar,
mm-hmm.
it would be a lot better. I mean, and we only had, three customizable options for each customizable thing? You didn't really have that much choice.
Yeah, you had, like, the hairstyle, the hair color, and...
The voice.
Think, yeah, the eyes, the voice, and the size. And most people just chose the default size. So.
I enjoy the avatar. I don't think it's a bad thing. It doesn't take away from the game anyway.
I would actually disagree with just that last statement right there, that it doesn't take away from the game. I think it actually does indirectly take away from the game. And the reason why is because when you have an avatar, you have character creation, you have a lot less you can do with the story in some regards, especially if it's supposed to actually kind of feel like your character or your representation in the game to some extent. You know, his personality is static. He isn't making decisions. He's not one of those, like, silent characters who only ever talks when you have something to say, like in other games. You know, there are lots of other games where you have that kind of thing. Even Legend of Zelda, you know, the creator, Anoma, considers Link to be, you know, a reflection of, you know, the person playing the game, which is why he, you know, he doesn't talk and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
In games like Persona 4, which I know you just started playing, you know, the main character doesn't really say anything unless you make him say it. So in that way, his personality, you know, it isn't totally, you know, customizable, but it can kind of change, and you can kind of make it what you want to be. Same thing with Shin Megami Tensei 4 and other RPGs and other games. So point being, I feel like when you have that character, the avatar, there's less you can do with the story in terms of molding the story. Whereas if you have a set character, you can do more because you have greater control over them. You don't have as many variables.
Yeah.
You can develop that character's personality in more ways than that kind of thing.
I mean, I remember in 7, if you don't create a tactician, the story was changed slightly, which was a really nice touch. Like, different dialogue in certain sections. You didn't get the Alpha's drops if you didn't make a tactician, because there was no one there to receive them. I actually think you're correct that it does kind of take away from the story. But I don't think that the avatar was, you know, the main problem of Awakening. Just I
actually think that indirectly, I don't totally disagree with you, but I think in a way it was, because when you consider it, you have the avatar as this character who you can not only form in terms of stats and all these other things, but he's also, you know, they wanted to make him feel relevant, so they had to have this background where, spoilers, you know, he's actually Grima and whatnot. And then also you have this whole marriage system and whatnot, right? And again, the avatar is kind of your character in that whole thing. And I feel like how they work supports, where it's more of like social interactions than backstories and other things, goes back to part of why people didn't praise Awakening's, you know, story. I'd say if you want to praise the, you know, the social interactions, the dialogue, I feel like that stuff is definitely praiseworthy. And even then, some people will still say, no, it's terrible. They're, you know, the character development is all just, you know, people and tropes or whatever. But, you know, I think it's like a totally different way that they tackle the story because of this character creation. And most games that I play where I find character creation, either the story is good because of the other characters that you don't control, or the story is just a different style of story where maybe it's told like, I don't know, like in Dark Souls, where you have it told more like through lore, or, you know, it's not like a very direct story. Maybe it's not as coherent, maybe it's more open-minded, or maybe you just have a simpler, not as interesting story like Awakening.
I think if you put the avatar in as a bystander, like 7 again, it would work a lot better. Because, yeah, the story and the backstory surrounding the avatar was very poorly written. It was just kind of...
In a way, it was forced, right?
Yeah, I mean, Crom isn't the main character of his own game, which is, you know, really, really crap for him. You know, that's why he's not even getting a spot in Brawl now.
And there's no C's, and that's something that, one thing I think of is like, oh, who's the main character? Well, it's whoever can C's, right? That's a weird way to see it, but the way I see it is that he can't C's because there are no C's chapters in that game, and it's kind of like, alright, is the main character Crom, Lucina, Robin? And, I mean, I guess you'd have to argue it's... I feel like it's Crom because the avatar is kind of his right-hand man, and it's kind of Crom who's going to go down in history as, you know, he's the guy who wields, you know, Falcon. You know, he's the guy who has the royal blood. Yeah, he has better character development than... Not good character development, but better character development than Robin, in my opinion.
Yeah.
At least with his sister and all that stuff that I won't get into.
I feel the avatar system can work, just it's very tricky on, you know, to get it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll ever get it perfect. sadly, so I think it would be best to just go back to not having a self-insert character available to create.
Yeah, or else definitely tone it down where it's more like, you know, like FE7. If you are going to have a customizable character, then they don't necessarily need to be have a huge role. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on.
Okay, I think it's back.
Yeah, I think it's back. I am not sure if it's still recording properly, so one second. Okay. But yeah, we were getting kind of off topic there. So let's go back to the whole Smash announcement.
Okay.
So we've got Captain Falcon, and Captain Falcon's awesome. It's probably arguably the biggest highlight, unless you're, I guess, a hardcore Fire Emblem fan. But we're actually going to not talk about Captain Falcon too much, because he doesn't seem like he's changed much. He's not a new character. Obviously, he's awesome. There's not much to... He's so awesome that there's really not much to discuss, right? Like, no one debates, like, oh, Captain Falcon's not awesome. No, there's nothing to discuss. He's just pure awesome. Am I right?
Everything that's been said, everything that you can say about Captain Falcon has been said. We don't need to discuss anymore.
Exactly.
I'm happy he's back. You're happy he's back. Everybody's happy, you know?
Yes. Nobody can complain. Sorry, go ahead.
Nobody can complain that Captain Falcon's returning.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing I will say is, whoever thought Captain Falcon wasn't coming back is kind of dumb. I'm sorry. But that's just, come on. You cannot have Smash Brothers without Captain Falcon. That's just, no. He's in every game, right? I haven't played 64 in ages, but...
Yeah, he's one of the eight characters that's in all of them.
Yeah, dude, he's more iconic because of Smash than he is for his own game series F-Zero, which is funny because Sakurai he poked fun at the fact that there's no F-Zero. He's like, and welcome back, Captain Falcon. When are you ever getting a new game of your own? And some people were just like, oh, that hurts so badly. Some people got mad at him. I'm just like, come on. He is not the guy responsible for this. You know, he's not the dude who, you know, who makes the F-Zero games or who calls the shots. But some people are still getting mad at him.
He's just poking a bit of fun, you know?
Yeah,
no need to get upset.
Nah, he's very aware of people's, like, fans' expectations, their desires. I mean, in a way, being aware sucks because, you know, there are always constantly people complaining and people never being happy, but that's kind of one of the difficulties of being a game dev. I wouldn't know, but I won't get into that too much. So yeah, Captain Falcon comes in with his the Blue Falcon. Fun times. And that picture that I just mentioned is actually a comment to the pick of the day, where he says, Robin, the avatar in Fire Emblem Awakening, joins the battle. As a master of tomes and the 11th sword, Robin's not like any other sword fighter. You can also select Robin's gender when you play. So he's got the two genders, male, female, seem identical, not separate characters, which makes sense and is nice. And he's got all these different tomes. So how do you feel about that? We've got fire, thunder, wind, dark.
Yeah, I think he's the... In terms of, like, the characters we already had, we had Marth, who's the, you know, sleek and skillful fighter, while Ike is more just kind of, he'll kick the door down and beat your face in, rather than, you know, have any subtlety to him. I think, yeah, Robin is probably the perfect character they could have picked, because it's kind of like, he's a bit short range, but at the same time, longer range because of all the spells he has.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've made a good mixed fighter that, you know, will reward skillful play. Like, he won't be... I don't think it'll be a character or... Don't think it'll be a fighter that you can just pick up and, you know, play around with and get good at instantly. It'll take practice to get good at this character.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Ike has that longer range, and he's been kind of made into this slower character, even though in his actual games he's not particularly slow. But he's kind of this heavy brawler, and then Marth's kind of the, you know, somewhat fast and quicker. And we noticed that, like, in the trailer, Robin's bronze sword, it doesn't have very good range, and it's also kind of weak. But then his magic attacks are great projectiles. We saw Thunder, El Thunder, Arc Thunder, and Thoron, the latter of which is, like, this huge beam that just attacks everything in its path. I thought that was awesome. So, you know, we're not totally sure how those special attacks work, but one theory is that, you know, they could be customizable moves. So you could perhaps choose Thunder, Elf Thunder, or Arc Thunder. And that kind of goes back to, for instance, Mario has, like, different variations on the Fireball, and you can kind of customize your own character. It's also possible that there's perhaps just different charges to it. So kind of like Samus's, you know, charge move where you can charge it up to different levels and eventually it gets maxed. It's possible that, you know, he can, you know, go from Thunder to Elf Thunder to Arc Thunder. It's also possible that he can only ever use one of the moves and there's no charge up and it's totally dependent on the tome he wields. So you remember that part where he throws the tome away in the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that gets me really interested because, you know, I'm kind of wondering, like, how is this, you know, the items running out of use is going to work? I guess, you know, from one perspective, Marth and Ike, they wield Falcon and Ragnall, and you can consider these legendary weapons that have infinite uses, right? But Robin's actually using weapons that don't have infinite uses, and it kind of makes sense, like, oh, they're actually running out. I think that's a great, you know, callback to Fire Emblem.
I just want to know how it works in application, though, because... You know, if I use my strongest attack too many times and I'm like nerfing myself by doing so, and then I have to use the crappy bronze sword for the rest of the fight, how much of a disadvantage does that put me at?
Yeah.
Is it a kind of like win early or don't win at all kind of situation, or
like, no, I'm interested too. I don't think it'll be that. I think it's definitely going to be paced enough so that maybe in a 3-stock match, you know, you have intermittent zones of, you know, oh, you have this available, you don't have this available, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it seems like you can definitely, you know, pace and control yourself as well. So he said that for the Levin Sword, you have it where, I'm trying to find it right now, the Levin Sword can be activated by using smash attacks, and you can even activate those moves in midair. So the Levin Sword is like this... It's called the Thunder Sword in Japanese, as far as I know. And the Levin Sword is this reference that... It's funny because I saw a tweet. The guy who originally translated it as Levin Sword was like, oh my gosh, like after all these years, like the Levin Sword is like officially a thing, whatever. So he's like, it can only be used a limited number of times before it breaks, at which point it takes some time to regenerate. So we don't know how exactly it regenerates. It might speed up if you die or something. But at that point, he uses the Bronze Sword. So it seems like you definitely have to, I guess, pace yourself to some extent. What I'm curious is, you have the different tomes, right? So you have, say, Elwynd, and you know what Elwynd does in the, for Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, you watch the trailer, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the recovery move.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So it looks like it's the recovery move where he essentially shoots Elwynd down and it kind of propels him up. Alright, creative enough, you know, you've got to kind of form the characters for this Brawl universe or Smash universe. But what I'm thinking is like, alright, so what if I run out of Elwynd? Does that mean I just can't recover? Like, how do you think that's going to work?
I think Elwynd will be like that one tome that never runs out. It's like... You just have a constant supply in your backpack or whatever, because you're always going to need your recovery move.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd intentionally leave a character without a potential recovery move.
Yeah, but then,
like, even for a small period of time, depending on how long it takes to recharge and whatnot.
I guess, like, how do you control which tomes you use? Is it just a specific order, or can you set it? I feel like there's just, you see, you know, fire, arc fire, you know, or elf,
yeah.
Or, you know, maybe L fire. There's all these different variations. There's just like too many attacks, and it's like, how do I control which ones I use? How do I know?
Well,
like, you know, like there always has to be something available. So how is it which one? So I guess this is kind of what we're looking forward to, figuring out how exactly it works. And I'm really excited to play because I know no matter what, like you said before, he's going to be one of those characters that has like a higher skill cap. You can't just kind of jump in as you can with Ike and like smash the forward smash and, you know, destroy everything. It's more like, you know, yeah, it's more of a technical character where you've got to, you know, manage yourself, pace yourself, really be aware of what you're doing and that kind of thing.
I think it'll either work that it's like Samus, where you charge, and depending on how much you've charged, you get a different type of thing, or it could work like the Pokemon trainer did, and you down in B to change, like, what you're using?
Maybe. I think that, like, the down B is Nosferatu, though, right?
Potentially.
I feel like the uses thing might only apply to certain moves, like you said. So, perhaps the thunder and the fire only, and then maybe, like, the wind attacks. Maybe his recovery just gets stronger. Like a wind recovery is not as strong as an L wind, is not as strong as an arc wind, or something. Who knows? But yeah, his down B looks like it's Rezire Nosferatu, which heals you as a character. So that looks like a potentially good 1v1 move. I feel like there might be a bit of a lag before he casts it. You know, Nosferatu is one of those tomes that's a heavier tome, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like he might, you know, implement that by giving it sort of a bigger initial delay to the move. And in general, Robin seems to have a bit slightly slower attacks than say Marth, as well as shorter ranges. But he has more, what's the word, versatility? Does that make sense? I don't know if that's the word.
Yeah. As well as that, though, I think perhaps Sakurai might even be trolling us, and the scene where he throws the book away is a taunt. I mean, it could be that just the sword works on a type of ammo system or uses system, but...
Sorry, go ahead.
And then, I don't know, it's tough to call, I mean...
Yeah, so I just saw something now. It says, by the way, Robin's tome changes to each special attack, and for whatever reason, I didn't pay attention to this until now. So, that kind of sucks. But, by the way, Robin's tome changes to each special attack. So, okay, so if he uses, he or she uses a special attack, then how does it change, though? That's still a question. So we know it changes after use every one, but does it change from fire to arc fire? Does it change from arc fire to thunder? And then when does it run out, you know?
Will I have to notice the color change on the book to know?
I think so. I think he did make a note of that. I don't think it'll be that hard. I mean, you'll probably get used to the order. And that's kind of what makes them more of a technical character. It's kind of like Pikmin, and, you know, now you only have, like, four Pikmin, and there's a very specific order, right? But in Brawl, you had, I think, six Pikmin max. And the order was a lot more random, and you had, I think, you know, six different kinds of Pikmin: white, purple, blue, yellow, red, and blue, yellow, red, white, purple.
Green, I'm going to say.
Aren't I?
No.
Maybe there's only five. I don't know. But yeah, you had these different Pikmin, and you, like, to be good with Pikmin, you did have to know which one you were using and, like, in which order. And it's kind of like, oh man, that's kind of crazy. Like, I just smash buttons, right? But, you know, I feel like that's the point of having certain characters that are more accessible and certain characters that are more technical.
And then the final smash is interesting, because it looks like Crom will show up in-game, but he got relegated to a cameo slot. a pretty cool cameo slot, admittedly. But
yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, the final smash looked great, and then it looks like quite the reference to the pair-up feature of Awakening with two people attacking. But and it looked like to me that Crom was using Ike's like constant slashes as a base. You know how he has the great Aether and he's just kind of going around, but instead of just attacking from one spot, it looked like he was kind of moving around as he attacked with Robin throwing electric or thunder attacks. Sorry, this isn't Pokemon. With Robin throwing thunder attacks from different directions at well. But hey, it's flashy as heck, and I'm not complaining. if it weren't for Final Smashes, I'd probably, like, never play with items, because I'm one of those guys who's like, you know, Fox only, no items for this nation. But not really, because I don't really play Melee anymore, and I'm terrible with Fox. But I'm definitely no items Final Destination, that's all me. I only play on, like, five stages, so... So for me, it's like, all right, I'm only going to see the final smashes a few times, so they better be pretty cool.
Yeah, the final smash looks really, really flashy. I'm rewatching it right now, over and over, and there are just so many different... It's much longer than Ike's one from Brawl, or so it seems.
And presumably, whoever is getting attacked would be sent flying, and there's a possibility of having two characters or more trapped in there as well. So, just like Great Aether. Oh, and yeah. Speaking of great Aether, Ike now has blue flames. That is interesting because I recall that he definitely had red flames before at some point. Obviously, in Brawl, he has red flames, and you could consider that almost, you know, besides the fact that red flames are, like, normal, you could consider that a reference to Roy almost. Not really, that's kind of a, you're making that up in a sense, but Roy had red flames. But Ike's blue flames make a lot more sense because of Radiant Dawn, which, do you want to go ahead and spoil the ending or no?
You can spoil it, go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much just go watch the last couple cutscenes in Radiant Dawn.
That's all you need to know.
Yep, all you need to know. Alright, so how about Lucina? Tell us, Seraph. I'm tired. I've been doing 70% of the talking.
Let's see, Lucina. I'm happy Lucina made it in. Any more Fire Emblem characters is a good Fire Emblem character to have. I know you hate me for it, but I'm a tiny bit disappointed.
I don't mind being disappointed.
Like, I'm not angry. I'm not saying she shouldn't be in the game or any of that crap.
No, I'm disappointed too.
I'm just a little bit like... I know in the game her whole thing is that A, she's a descendant of Marth. B, she's, you know, dressed up as Marth, pretending to be him in Awakening. But it just seems like a little bit of a cop-out, I guess, to just kind of make her almost the exact same.
No, I understand. I don't disagree with that. The thing that upsets me is when people are like, oh man, like, I'm so mad that Lucina got in and she's just the Marth clone and it's, like, freaking terrible. And it's like, they act as if though they'd rather not have another Fire Emblem character. They'd rather not have Lucina at all. And they're just like, they just have no appreciation for her whatsoever. I'm just like, alright, we could have only had two Fire Emblem characters. And Lucina is probably what I would call fan service. And you can consider all of Smash Bros. Fan service in a sense. But, you know, okay, Lucina was created, you know, who knows when, sometime 2012, presumably. Let's say you're Sakurai and you decided the roster back in 2010 or 2011 for this game. You know, it's been in development for a while. If he wanted to include Lucina after the fact, then he could potentially do that. You know, he has the right to change the roster, even though the roster is decided at the very beginning. So let's say you did that and you wanted to include Lucina because she's so popular in Japan, she's also popular outside of Japan, then the easiest way would just to give her a different texture, to give her different voices, and use Marth as a base, which makes sense because, as you mentioned, you know, she's related to Marth, she uses the same sword, it's a different variation, but it's technically the same sword, you know, all that jazz. So... I mean, I feel like it's fine, and alright, it is kind of disappointing. Yeah, I would like a legitimate fourth character as opposed to, like, a third and a half character. But at the same time, it's like, alright, Sakurai could have done nothing, and I'm not entitled to having a fourth Fire Emblem character. So I'm not, it's not something to rage about or, like, be like, oh man, like, I hate Sakurai, I hate Smash Brothers over this, which is, like, what some people are doing. They're, like, throwing temper tantrums, and I'm just like, this isn't... A temper tantrum is not justified. Disappointment is totally justified.
I think they probably did what, you know, the best they could. They probably... I think Lucina was, like, an afterthought.
Exactly.
And they kind of just went, well, oh crap, we need to create a whole new character, and they kind of just saw Marth in the corner and put him in a dress and said, that'll do. But I mean,
that's one way of putting it. I mean, I
do like the idea that they've changed her slightly, and that, you know, she has more power in the hilt of the sword as opposed to the tip of the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she is a better fit than Crom would have been. I think Crom's a bit bland. He doesn't really have his own style, like Marth and Ike do. He's just kind of. I have no idea how you would create Crom as a character in
Smash
Brothers.
Yeah, I feel like he would just be another sword user, and it would be so difficult to come up with.
I think he'd be really generic, that he'd be worse than a clone, nearly. Like,
in a way, yeah, you would just end up doing variations on the same thing. I mean, when you think about it, most of Marth's attacks are just kind of, like, in a way, like normal sword attacks. His B is a reference to his stabbing attack. And then you have his counter is obviously a reference to counter attacks in Fire Emblem, where most or a lot of other SRPGs, when you attack or get attacked, you don't counter attack. But aside from that, like, most of his attacks aren't really, you know, what's the word? They aren't they aren't, like, based on actual moves. Where if you compare it to, say, I guess, like, Ness, you know, he has PK Fire, he has PK Cloud, he has PK Starstorm. These are based on, like, actual moves from the game. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, I mean...
So go ahead.
Krom's moveset would be terribly generic, probably.
Right, cause... it would just be, like... Like basic sword slash, basic low sword slash, basic high sword slash. Like,
yeah.
There's not much more you can do that wasn't already done with Marth and Ike.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of ways to incorporate Hector into the game, Ephraim into the game. They would have completely different fighting styles. But Krom has been done to death. He's basically already in the game, just as Ike and Marth. I mean, I don't think you could ever. I don't think he was ever truly an option. He was the lord, the main character of the game, but he was just too bland to make it in, probably.
Yeah. And that's not to say I wouldn't kind of still want him in anyway, just because I'm, you know, we're Fire Emblem fans, and it'd still be nice to have him in, but it just kind of, you know, objectively speaking, it just wouldn't work out. Like, I'd rather have Roy or Hector or Ephraim or even, like, a Manaquite. You know, which is kind of, when you think about it, they're actually somewhat symbolic in Fire Emblem because they've appeared in so many games and they usually have a pretty important role. Like, Tiki would have been a very interesting character choice, in my opinion.
If they had really wanted to go with, like, pure kind of love for the community, they would have picked Anna as the character. She's the only one that's been in every game, so...
Yeah. I think as far as Anna goes, you know, she only recently appeared as a fighter, and she, it would be cool, but like, what is she gonna do? Sell you items? Like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, I think Anna's best kept as like
a cameo, definitely
a cameo. Yeah, part of the game, maybe an assist trophy or yes. You know, a sticker. But
a sticker maybe a little bit too low key for me, but somewhere between like a trophy and an assist trophy.
I don't know. I'm happy Lucina's in the game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the other option is she's not in the game. And I like the way Sakurai put it. He said, with the Wii Fit trainers, the male and female Robins, the villagers, and Little Mac, varying their appearances and voices works just like selecting alternate color variations. However, whenever there's even a small difference in abilities, that character gets an actual roster slot. That is why you can select Lucina individually. So what the point he's trying to making is, you know, it's very much... you know, the same character, but there is a slight difference, and that's why, you know, it can't just be a, you know, a different skin, kind of.
Yeah. There's subtle differences that you'll only get, you know, when you play the character.
I would rather at least have those, you know, subtle differences than, you know, just say, okay, you can pick Marth or Lucina, and now they, like, share a spot. I feel like that would be awkward because they're two totally different characters. It's not like, you know, Little Mac has different appearances, but it's always Little Mac. You have the male and female Robins. You know, that's a character creation thing. So it makes sense that they share a roster spot. Same for the villagers. That's a character creation. The Wii Fit trainers are just, you get to choose whichever one is your preferred in Wii Fit. Yes, I have played Wii Fit. I make it kind of a rule to play, like, almost every game that Smash characters originate from as much as I can. I still haven't played the game that Rob is from, but...
Have fun trying to play that.
Yeah, right.
What I'm really happy about is that Fire Emblem is now one of the most represented series in Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've now got four characters. That's probably one of the highest for any... Like, I know the Mario games have five.
Dude, F-Zero still only has one. Mother only has two.
If even Star Fox had three, I don't think... Falco's probably coming back, though, I assume.
I think Falco and Wolfram are both coming back.
But, I think
Falco's gonna probably come up soon, and Wolf will probably come up at the last second. And by soon, I mean maybe in the next month, and maybe he just might be announced at the end. But I think both are coming back, is my guess.
What I find really funny, though, is that we've jumped to one of the highest represented game series... Despite the fact the only relevant news we've had in the last year and a half has been, Shin Megami Tensei X Fire Emblem is still happening. Don't worry. Like, that's the only, like, relevant piece of news we've had in about a year,
wait,
year
about,
and a half.
What about, didn't Awakening come out last year in February 4th?
Didn't it? Yeah.
That was within a year and a half, right? But I guess I'm getting too technical, right?
You've ruined my entire point. No.
I'm sorry, sir. Please forgive me. But yeah, Awakening and Awakening DLC aside, you're right. There really hasn't been much. There's been a few things. That's why you should be on our Twitter, because I post everything Fire Emblem related. Everything. Not everything, but almost everything. but shameless advertisement aside. yeah, there was pretty much just the, oh yeah, SMTXFE is still a thing. Please don't ask me anymore. Have mercy on me.
yeah. Please.
I laughed at that so hard. He's just like, please have mercy on me or I'll lose my job.
Pretty much. They sounded, yeah. Poor guy.
It's so hushed up. It's kind of hilarious in a sense. But dude, that thing has the potential to be one of the most amazing games to have ever been created.
There was an interesting post on the Fire Emblem Reddit page that was like, hey, I'm a long-term player of the Shin Megami Tensei games. Do you have any questions? And let me try to find it one sec. Because it was interesting. Here we go. I asked, the question I asked was, is there a lot of hype in the Shin Megami Tensei community for this game? And he said, he's not sure. People haven't really spoken much about hyping it up. They've just kind of asked what's actually happening. So there's no real hype on the side of Shin Megami Tensei. So we're kind of the saving grace right now. We've got to keep praying.
I feel like it's confused hype on this side.
Yeah, it's like, yay, Fire Emblem. But what's going to happen?
You know, it's like, what's this other thing, SMT? And I feel like people have actually had that reaction, because SMT is kind of niche, and it's not, like, terribly unknown. The games have been localized for a while, but, you know, I know, like, most FE fans I know haven't actually played Shin Megami Tensei. I mean, I have 3 games, but I haven't beaten any of them, so... And it's not that they're bad. The Shin Megami Tensei 4 is amazing as soon as you get past the difficulty curve. Mm. But not even a curve, it's just really high difficulty. As soon as you get past the difficulty, they're amazing. But it's kind of like, what are these games even? What is this game going to be? They're so different, the games.
They're just so hushed about it. They're just so quiet.
Yeah, this is just a theory, and it's probably right if you ask me, and that's kind of arrogant of me to say, but... My theory is that they just announced it because they knew they were going to do that promotion with the $30 eShop credit, and the $30 eShop credit was just to promote both games, get them to sell more, and get sort of some kind of hype between SMTXFE. You know, if you buy both games, then you're a lot more likely to play this crossover, and I'm sure it helps both series. You know, people probably bought SMT just to get the $30, and people probably just bought FE just to get the $30. I mean, $30 pays for 3/4 of FE Awakening itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think SMT was $49.99 at the point, but, you know, that still pays for plenty of it.
See what you're saying there makes it sound like they made the decision to give the $30 thing while intoxicated, and then they woke up the next morning and realized they'd have to make a crossover game, and they were just kicking themselves like, oh, crap. We actually have to make this now? What were we thinking? I had to hold in my laughter there a minute ago because it was just such a brilliant idea.
But no, you get what I'm saying, right? Like, they didn't actually have anything done. It's like, the trailer was just like, oh, let's just throw some character artwork and a piece of concept art at the end, and this is our trailer for a game. Oh, let's not... It just only started development. This is just an idea. And, like, we have to do this promotion now, because otherwise it'll be too late. So let's do it now, and then we won't talk anything about the game for, like, 3 years, and then eventually be like, oh, yeah, remember SMTXFE? Right, that game's coming out in, like, 3 months.
Because, I mean, if they don't hurry up with it, all the hype will have... All the natural hype from Awakening, from Smash Brothers, will all have died down.
I feel like it's already too late, in a sense. I feel like it's going to have to run on its own hype at this point.
And that's, yeah, and then it's not going to sell too well, and then they're going to get annoyed at us and say,
Fire Emblem. I'm buying 5 copies. I don't know about you, but...
If I can afford it, I'll join you there.
Yeah, I don't think I after spending $400 on Smash, I don't think I can afford five copies of SMTX FE, but I'll consider it anyway.
I don't know. I think Nintendo just seems to be very late off the mark with when it comes to Fire Emblem. They're just very, what's the word? Not casual, but
complacent is the word.
Complacent, yeah. That's a good word to use. They're just kind of, yeah, Fire Emblem will be fine. It doesn't really need any help. Look at how well Awakening sold.
Meanwhile, but they actually had advertisements for that. They actually marketed it. I was so surprised. I was like, wait, what? Like, marketing is in, like, you know, commercials and, like you know, marketing? I didn't even know how to react at first. I was just so bewildered.
Yeah, what was the last game to get marketed? Was it 7?
I think so.
I don't know. I think, yeah.
At least in America. I don't even know if 7 got... I think it did, but...
But it was definitely marketed in Japan.
Legit effort into marketing. So, I mean, that's part of why it sold well. And then obviously, you know, the game is... I know a hardcore FE fans don't like it, and I've said this a billion times, but, you know, objectively speaking, the game was amazing, and it got extremely good reviews from critics.
It put Fire Emblem back on the map.
It got unparalleled praise for a Fire Emblem game, and, you know, people were saying it's like the best RPG of the year, one of the best games of the year. You know, I still hear people talking about it as if though it's this, you know, masterpiece. So, you know, even if FE fans didn't like it, you know, well, most other people did. So, I know that hurts people. It's like, oh, how could Fire Emblem Awakening be so popular? It was such a terrible game. But that's just the truth of the matter.
I think, yeah, I'm sad Nintendo didn't do more with the giant hype wave they'd created.
Right, so, they should have released VC games, they should have done all this and that.
I mean, it really wouldn't take that much for them to... they could have released Awakening, then they saw how popular it got, and then they could have just kind of put up a small advertising campaign going, you know, relive the predecessors of Fire Emblem Awakening with 7, 8, 9, or, you know... 7 and 8 on the Virtual Console for 3DS or
I'm still of the opinion that they should have combined FE9 and FE10 in an HD remake, released it for a year ago, because games are so hard to find, and people are like, oh, I want to play the older ones, and that, you know, they're like so excited, they see videos of it, but you can't find the games, you know, at least not for cheap. If you do find it, it's used and crappy, and
HD remake
would do so much good. I'm sure it would have sold. Now it's kind of too late. Like you said, the hype died down. People aren't as interested. If they were interested, they already found the games and played them.
I had to pay $100 for my copy of Fire Emblem 9.
Holy crap. Did you get it at launch?
I didn't get it at launch.
I'm asking, did you not get it at launch, or did you just, like, lose your copy or trade it in, and then you got it again?
See, I never owned a GameCube. My first Fire Emblem game was 8, and I just kind of always just sat there really sad that I could never... I never thought to just buy it, because I never owned a GameCube.
Mm.
I bought Fire Emblem 10 on release. Like,
sad face.
I think I was the only one in GameStop that day to pick up 10, but...
Yeah, I think I've bought every Fire Emblem game at... Well, I don't know if I bought FE8 at release. Because I was too young to actually go to the store. So it was like back as a kid, you have to like ask your mom to take you to the store, right?
Yeah.
But like within a week, pretty much every game, except for Blazing Sword. I think Blazing Sword, I was a couple months late or something. So, but yeah, pretty much every game. I didn't buy Shadow Dragon ever. I'm serious, I still haven't bought it. It's just that bad. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of Shadow Dragon. I've played it, I beat it, just to say I could beat it, but oh my gosh, it was, I felt like I would rather play FE1, actually, because at least then I would have been charmed by the pixel art or what have you. FE11 was just, like, torture.
No, I can remember buying FE8. I walked into GameStop, and there was this game just sitting on the shelf. It was like looking at me with, you know, sexy eyes.
It has cool box art. No, 10-year-old logic. It has cool box art. Must buy it.
Pretty much.
Actually, that's that logic still applies now. I don't know why I said 10-year-old logic, because I still follow that logic today.
No, literally, like on the back of the FE8 box, it looks like there's one of the battle scenes where you're fighting one of the wolves, and I was just like, this is amazing. I need this game right now. So I went in the week after and bought it instantly, and now I've played all of them. Damn you, Fire Emblem 8. You ruined everything.
Wait, really? All of them? Have you've played every single one?
Yeah.
Have you beat every single one?
I've beaten every single one at least once.
Oh, nice. I can't even say I've done that. I quit FE4. Couldn't beat FE4.
FE5 is the one where I'm just like, I should replay it, but I really don't want to. It's just too evil.
Yeah, FE1 was too old. FE4 is too FE4. And I've beaten every other one at least once.
I give FE7 a speed run every once in a while. See how fast I can do it in. I think I've gotten Linz mode down to like 32 minutes.
Wow.
Max. Like
32 minutes would be like the first three chapters for me, because I just play so slowly.
And then I try and speedrun FE6. I keep dying to one of the bosses that just keeps critting you, even though he doesn't have a crit item. And I give up. I'm like, no, I hate this game. Even though 6 is my favorite, I just put it down and don't touch it for a month and a half.
I'm really bad at speedruns for whatever reason. I just like, I feel compelled to reread the dialogue, even though I know what they say. So I can't actually like hit enter and actually speed run it. And then it's like the animations, I'm like, all right, no, I'm going to turn the animations on for at least a while. So I tell myself I'm going to speed run it, but I end up like seeing most of the game anyway in all of its glory.
Yeah, what I usually do is like I turn animations on until I get a crit, and then you don't get a critical for the next chapter and a half. You just sat watching, you know, the enemy mercenaries wail on your poor guys. No, I mean, the problem with me speedrunning the games is that I'm such a, I want to say, conservative player. I'm like, small advantages here, don't, you know, because usually I've had too, you know, we started playing the games when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably instantly tell now when you've made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
when you've clicked, like, wait, and then you just get that sinking feeling where you're like, oh shit, he's in range of that sniper, or... You know, I've made a huge mistake here.
Oh, that definitely happens. I just hate myself. Unless I'm in an emulator, and then I just hit that rewind button. I've actually had a dream about the rewind, but I'm serious, where I was like, something just didn't go right, so I was like, screw this, I'm just hitting the rewind button. And I literally went back into time in my dream, and I just replayed this scene out and did it better. And then I woke up and I'm like, oh my god, this is like just like an emulator. If something goes wrong, just hit that rewind button.
I don't know. I think we've strayed very far from our original point.
Oh, definitely.
Point,
what were we originally talking about?
I think Captain it was Falcon. Still Lucina. Will she have the same final smash?
I think so. It might be different, but I would assume, you know, I expect the worst at this point.
Expect the worst.
Well, you know, people had overly high expectations to start with, and I think that's part of why they got so mad, because they just have unreasonable expectations. It is not easy to make a character. Sakura has said this, but I think most people are just it's just too hard to appreciate how much work it goes into everyone with coming up with the moveset, the balancing, the everything. You know, like I didn't even understand it until later on. Like if you play the games, you realize that almost every move comes with like a specific intention. There's so many different details to, you know, the moves and just the balancing and everything. And I know some characters are broken anyway, but there's just so much that goes into it. It is not easy to just throw in a character. So I can't blame him for doing a clone.
See, what I hate is that people are disappointed for a character we didn't even know we were getting.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's the problem. It's like, for our franchise, we should be happy for what we've gotten. We've gotten four characters. That's more than most other franchises in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and we have the female Robin. We didn't even deserve, you know... We definitely didn't deserve more than three characters, is what I would say. It's not like I hate Fire Emblem. Quite the opposite. But if you look, compare it to other series, it's just more than three isn't justified, and even two would have been okay.
We don't have the track record of being that successful.
Exactly. No.
If we had been that successful, Hector would be in the game. Hector would be in Smash Brothers. Oh, I wait for the day.
Brawl mods. I hope Wii U hacking gets to the point where you can insert hack. Probably not, because it's just too much work, but one can dream. I mean, even with Brawl mods, it's too difficult to include different characters. Custom characters. I remember I played as Naruto once, and he had Rasengan. Fun times, but yeah, it's way too much. DLC, maybe. Probably not.
All in all, though, I'm extremely happy that they announced both characters.
And, oh, yeah, I was so excited, because I actually expected Shulk, and are you familiar with Xenoblade?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Xenoblade is one of my favorite game series. Well, not Xenoblade, but the Xeno series. And I was expecting Shulk, like everyone else, thanks to the dude retweeting, the Xenoblade writer retweeted the Smash Bros. Announcement, and the last time he did that was for Nintendo Direct, and we saw the first footage of the game in ages at said Nintendo Direct. So it was like, oh, like, total hype. And then also there was a Gematsu leak where the dude is like, certain characters are going to appear, and I shouldn't say Gematsu leak, it was a leak on Gematsu, I think, from the dude Sal, who's like the creator of Gematsu or something. Anyway, he has insider sources, and he predicted successfully me, Wii Fit Trainer, Pac-Man, Little Mac, and the Villager, and I think someone else too, I can't remember off the top of my head. So he predicted all these characters, and he's also like, Shulk is going to be in, Krom is going to be in. So he was wrong about Krom. Krom is only a cameo, but I still feel like Shulk is going to be in, but I think Sakurai wanted to throw a curveball. You know, he loves doing the surprise. It's obviously one of the greatest moments, both for fans and for him, being surprised who's going to be announced. So I think that everyone is expecting Shulk, so he changed it at the last minute. Does that sound likely to you?
Yeah, pretty much. I think, yeah, Sakurai was they were going to announce the original announcement, and then once it got partially leaked, Sakurai went, no, I'm doing this instead. Mm-hmm. And we got this super announcement. I mean,
right. So I mean, we might have had something totally different. But yeah, it's at that point, it was like everyone who was paying attention was like, Shulk is going to be announced tomorrow, and that kind of ruins the excitement, the hype. I mean, it would have still been super exciting. I'd be thrilled. I would start coding everything that Shulk says is in Xenoblade. Behold the power of the Monado and all that.
Yeah.
But it's different because no one expected Lucina and Robin to appear, so that totally came out of left field, and it was a great surprise. I'm definitely happy.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, I legitimately had no idea that they were even being considered as characters.
I thought it was like trolling or something. I didn't believe it. I woke up specifically to watch the trailer. Otherwise, I never wake up at 10 a.m. I wake up at like 2 o'clock. That's my lifestyle, but it's actually a little bit more complicated. But yeah, I woke up at 10 a.m. to watch that, and I was like, what? Like Lucina? Robin? No, this isn't real. Like, I didn't believe it. And then Captain Falcon, too, I was like, no, this isn't real. But lo and behold, Krom wasn't real. Everyone thought he was actually confirmed, but he's not.
I mean, all we actually had was our stupid, speculation threads on the forums and stuff. Where it's like, every 2 weeks we'd go over the same information we had again, and we'd always come to the same conclusion. Krom's definitely gonna be in. We don't really know why, but Krom will be in.
I actually had a theory where neither Krom nor Lucina were gonna be in, because of how the roster decisions work, and I posted this all on Twitter, and it was a long thing, and I was just like, this is just a theory. And as soon as they were announced, I was like, all right guys, I was wrong, I'm really sorry. Yeah, I'm not afraid to admit. I mean,
everybody unfollowed you at that moment.
Yeah. No, I think we're good. In fact, I gained a few followers, but I was happy to be wrong, because I didn't expect Lucina and Krom to have any appearance whatsoever, but they did, and no complaints.
Mm. all in all,
Just
all in all, it was a great week to be a Fire Emblem fan.
Yep.
Or a Smash Brothers fan.
That too. Or a Captain Falcon fan. Or any fan of anything. No. Some people want dual audio for Lucina, which is the next. Of course, so Fire Emblem's JRPG, and JRPG fans are all about dual audio.
Oh, goddamn.
I don't hate dual audio. I just hope that they don't annoy the heck out of people wanting dual audio for every freaking character in the game. I think it would definitely be good for them to include it, because why not? You know, the voice clips are going to be there anyway, so it's just a matter of including it.
I just hope people, if it's not included, I hope people don't go insane, because it's really it's really not that big of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. All you're going to hear, Lucina is just going to go, "Hot, hot." All right, what else did she say? She says, "I challenge my fate." And what else did she say? "I say when it ends." You know, she's just going to say her awakening quotes.
Yeah.
She's not like she's going to be saying, 50 lines of dialogue.
You're going to know what she's saying. It'll just, you just don't need it. It's unneeded, and it'll probably just annoy Nintendo and remind them why they hated us,
yes.
Fire Emblem fans, for so long. And
I don't know. I think it's just the Nintendo fans in general are just so kind of annoying. I shouldn't say that. I am a Nintendo fan. I'm talking about myself here, but all right. I think we said enough about that. You wanna make the closing comments and call it a day, because we're at an hour.
I just can't wait. No matter how hype this announcement was, I can't wait till they announce Captain Falcon's Fire Emblem game.
He looks so good in the Fire Emblem style graphics. It's great.
He's gonna be the first Fire Emblem Lord who only uses his fists. You can't equip items to him. It's gonna be great.
Please. Oh my god, I would actually buy 5 copies of Captain Emblem, or whatever you call that.
F-Zero X Fire Emblem. It has to work.
Yes. More than SMTX FE, more than FE14.
I'd be so hyped for that.
I'm uncontrollably hyped about Smash Brothers. It's actually getting a little bit ridiculous, because the Wii U lineup is getting so good. I know everything's coming late 2014, 2015, but it's getting so good to the point where I literally just randomly start thinking about it, and then I start to squeal. I'm like, oh my god, Smash Brothers. We haven't had a new Smash Brothers game in God knows who long. I'm so excited.
It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
I'm actually happy in a way that I got kicked out of school, because now I can literally just play Super Smash Brothers all day. So. And it's terrible, but I'm making the best out of it. I have more time to play Smash Brothers.
You got to do good things with your time. Be the Lucina main you were born to be.
I'm gonna main every character in Smash Brothers, because that is just who I am. I wasn't kidding when I said I'm buying 6 copies.
I know. the only problem I have with Smash Brothers is that Jigglypuff is still not announced.
Yeah, they actually better have Jigglypuff back, because she's been in every game, and I don't care if she's not relevant and she's a terrible character. And I shouldn't say she, because Jigglypuff is genderless in a sense. It can be male or female.
Yeah.
But Jigglypuff has to be in.
Oh, definitely.
I'm sorry. I don't care how irrelevant she is. Just give her a Mega Evolution and put her in the game already.
Hopefully she'll be announced with 2 more Fire Emblem characters. We can dream.
Yes. Wait, Jigglypuff evolves into Wigglytuff, right?
Yeah.
Dang it. So she can't have Mega Evolution, because she's not even the top tier. That wouldn't make sense. Dang it. Screw the rules. Give her Mega Evolution anyway.
Alright.
Just whatever you do, make Sing better. Sing is so garbage. I can know how to use Sing on people and do it successfully, and it pisses them off, because it's such a garbage move that whenever you actually get hit by Sing, it's just so embarrassing. It's the worst. It's like playing as Pichu and getting hit by Rest. It just doesn't happen. But all right, let's actually end it there.
All right, cool.
Until next time, guys.
Goodbye, guys.